When you see a picture of an unbearably cute animal or a baby human or animal in real life, are you ever filled with so much emotion all you can do is grit your teeth and clench your fists? Do you feel an urge to squeeze something even if you have no intention to cause any harm? Or have you ever been at a karaoke bar and been overcome by rage at someone singing so badly you wanted to hurt them or possibly kill them? If you have, you're not alone. These are the topics of this week's episode of the Weird World Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Weird World Podcast. I'm Dean.
I'm Carrie.
Carrie's going to do something that has to do with those two things that seem, I guess they do kind of hang together, don't they? First one sounded pretty scary because it sounded like crushing puppies, and I was a little scared. Second one, though, so let's see how these two little kind of stories, you have something that kind of pulls them together.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, take it away, Carrie, on a topic that I'm not sure what it's going to be about, but it sounds intriguing.
The first one, being overwhelmed when you see a cute animal or baby.
Yeah.
It's called cuteness aggression.
Cuteness aggression?
It is a real thing. Oh. And it happens when people have both positive and negative reactions when they're having an intense positive emotional experience. And it's called dimorphous expressions of positive emotions.
Wait, I thought it was called a cuteness aggression. Cuteness aggression is like half of it.
Cuteness aggression is the thing.
Okay.
It is caused by...
Oh, got it.
People having dimorphous expressions of positive emotions.
Di means two after that.
Mm-hmm. So people who have this might also be the kind of person who cries, mm-hmm. which is a negative thing, at a wedding, which is a positive thing.
Isn't that...
Dimorphous.
A lot of people?
Expressions.
Dimorphous expressions.
Crying
okay.
and being happy.
Okay. Okay.
Or people...
Smiling when you want to kill someone.
Wait, no.
That could be sociopathy.
Girls who scream at the top of their lungs at a concert of, mm-hmm. you know, their favorite singer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Screaming is negative.
Like, I'm so excited. It's going to scream. That kind of a thing. Kind of. Am I not getting it?
Yeah.
Your face kind of...
Have you ever been at a concert and somebody screams when a song comes on that
oh,
they
sure.
love?
Sure.
That's the same.
I know, but phenomena. I don't always associate screaming with a negative, I guess, because the situation you just said is a positive. I don't know.
Correct.
I do wanting to squeeze puppies to death always seems like a negative to me.
It's the same thing crying out at a
yeah,
wedding,
yeah.
right? There is happy crying, and
yes.
that's what it is.
Yes.
Because crying is a negative expression.
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be, though. I guess that's why I'm having
no,
problems.
No, when it's caused by dimorphous expressions of positive emotions.
I guess where I'm having problems is that crying or screaming are always negative. I get what you're saying, but
yeah.
you have to interpret those two actions as always negative to make
okay.
sense of what
Here's
this,
the thing.
This
if
thing
you
you're talking about.
Have the context... You don't mm-hmm. have the context that somebody is crying
oh,
at a
I
wedding.
See.
You
okay.
just have a picture of somebody ugly crying.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
What are you going to think is happening to that person in that picture?
First of all, I wouldn't judge what it looks like you just did.
Okay.
Second of all, yes, I probably would think, okay, she's sad.
That's why.
Okay, got it.
That's why that's a negative
that
thing.
That was good. That was a good one.
Yes.
I think you helped out not just me, Carrie, but most of our audience.
And there's also a flip-flop of this. Like if something really bad is happening mm-hmm. and you're uncomfortable around it, mm-hmm. some people unconsciously smile.
I know I've heard of like laughing,
uh-huh.
laughing in
nervous giggles,
tense situations, but scary tense situations,
yes.
kind of a thing.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And it's dimorphic. Hold on. I'm going to write it down.
Dimorphous. Expressions of positive emotions.
Hold on. I misspelled already. Dimorphous, and then the other part about expressions of positive emotions that
mm-hmm.
I get. Okay.
So you see the cutest little fluffball puppy you've ever seen in your life.
Is it a West Highland Terrier? And are you going to
maybe
name it Coconut?
And people might just have this flash of thinking, I just want to crush it, or I want to squeeze
yeah.
it until it pops.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I want to, I've never felt that I want to punch
no,
it. Punch it.
No.
The squeezing and the, I've never felt crushing. Mine is like squeezing.
Like that.
I want to hug you so hard.
Like that movie. What was the thing? What was that movie? The kids' movie? Where she went, so fluffy! Oh, or whatever. That thing. Isn't that kind of her, what she's doing?
Yeah.
Does that movie involve the, did that child in that movie ever kill any of the animals that she loved so much?
No. And that.
I hadn't seen the movie, so I don't
that
know.
That doesn't happen. What is that movie? Mm. It's with the bad man that doesn't like them, but he has to take care of them.
Oh, is it Gru? Is it Minions?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
What, okay. But what's the actual movie?
Minions?
No, the Minions are...
Indestructible. Me.
Yeah.
Undesirable Me. That's not it.
We're good at that.
People are just screaming
I'm sure
at us
they
right
are.
Now. We don't watch kids' movies anymore. Sorry. It was called Despicable Me, you idiots.
But there is a psychologist at the Graduate School of Education at the University of California, Riverside. Her name is Catherine Stavropoulos. She has this.
She has
cuteness aggression.
Oh, really?
And she feels this way. And so she wanted to study it. And people who feel this way, they literally zero desire to harm anything.
I sure hope so.
People have this with their very own babies. The whole like, I'm going to eat you up.
Yeah.
And you know, that whole thing where
it's
sure
like a Grimm's fairy tale.
We did this with our babies. You put their fingers and their toes in your mouth and you just want to bite down as hard as you can.
Never wanted to bite down as hard as I can. That's
yeah,
you.
Do.
Don't drag me into that.
Well, it's...
Sorry. I never wanted to actually bite harm my child.
Neither
sorry,
did
I'm
I.
Sorry for being a decent... You just admitted
it. It's an urge. And it's... Yeah. But it's an involuntary response. So we can't help it. People who have this... To being overwhelmed by the positive, I guess I loved my kids more than you did.
I don't think that's it.
The
I don't.
Positive
I don't
emotion.
Think so. I don't think biting their toes literally off would have been a sign of that.
It's a common response to dogs with infantile, you know, baby-like features. Mm-hmm. So particularly puppies, because they're, let's face it, cuter.
For sure.
Or the toy breeds, the really small ones, Pomeranians, Chihuahuas, or Shih Tzu. And one way to tell if you're experiencing this urge is to notice your body language. It's the gritting of the teeth, the, you know, trying to smother them in kisses.
Smother.
Yeah.
Okay. You're using some trigger words, Gary.
And although, like I said, we have these desires and these urges, you don't go through with them. If you do go through with them,
you're a monster.
Then it's beyond cuteness aggression. Mm. It's
has cuteness aggression ever?
No.
Cuteness aggression ever caused?
No.
Did anybody accidentally crush
no.
a puppy?
No.
Okay.
Because if you're going to actually hurt, if you're okay with hurting an animal, you're not also experiencing the overwhelming positive emotion.
What if you just got carried away and you didn't mean to, but you squoze so hard?
No, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
And
So I'm very sure. It sounds like you've done an exhaustive search of the literature.
Because the psychologists who are studying it believe it's a regulating behavior.
Mm.
You're so overwhelmed by the positive emotions, your brain is doing something to compensate, to regulate the positive emotion by counteracting it with a negative one. Isn't that weird? It's
very strange. Like, I just love the puppy so much. If I think about crushing it, that'll balance me out a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
Kind of even me out.
And, you know, sometimes the feeling might feel overwhelming, but it's not uncontrollable. And that's why, you know, there's the purpose. It's helping you to get control over your emotions to avoid acting on your feelings that could possibly cause harm.
Okay.
It was first described by researchers at Yale several years ago. But this Dr. Stavropoulos at Riverside wanted to see what it looked like in the brain to see exactly what's happening in the brain.
And where it's... What part of the brain is triggering, that kind of thing?
So they recorded the electrical activity in the brains of 54 young adults when they looked at images of animals and people. Mm. And the images included both of grown-ups and babies. Some of the pictures had been, you know, they probably photoshopped them or whatever to look less appealing. Mm. And others were made to look more adorable, like the typical baby thing. Big eyes, big cheeks, small noses, the stuff that we associate with cute baby animals.
They overdid it and it looked like gray aliens. No, you know, tone down the eye size there.
Well, they found for the entire group of participants, cuter creatures were associated with greater activity in brain areas involved with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But the more cute cuteness aggression a person felt, the more activity they saw in the brain's reward system.
Reward system.
So this suggests to them that the people who are thinking about squishing puppies are being driven by two forces in the brain. It's not just emotion and it's not just reward. It's both.
Oh, okay. Reward. That seems odd to me. I would not have expected that.
Yeah.
I would expect it more. It actually bleeds a little bit over into the aggressive part of the brain.
Yeah.
But the reward part of the brain, I don't understand that. Explain.
I can't explain.
But, okay. Well, like are they triggering? Is the reward part of the brain that the one that does like dopamine or serotonin or whatever?
I think so. Well, I'll tell you what is next in my notes.
Okay.
The combination, I think, of the brain activity of the reward and the emotion centers, that combination can be overwhelming. And the scientists suspect that that's why the brain starts producing aggressive thoughts.
It's just like, it's almost like it's firing too hot.
And the appearance
of... To use a scientific term.
Correct. I mean, that's your scientific term.
I thought it was.
But the idea is that the appearance of the negative emotions help people get control of the positive ones that are running amok.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense then.
Yeah.
Sure. Because, yeah, you're overdoing it. You're releasing too much dopamine. Your body's going to have a withdrawal. Let's calm that down, people. Let's think about crushing puppies or biting kids' toes off. And then that will calm down those positive things. And
yes.
Okay.
So the other ones look at the pictures and think, oh, how cute. Mm-hmm. And they do get the positive emotion center gets activated in their brain, but not the reward center.
They don't overdo it.
Yes.
What do they know what causes the overdoingness? Is there something specific to those people?
I don't think so.
Or is it maybe case by case? Does everybody have this in some sense?
No.
We've already established that I do not. But you do, because you wanted to literally eat our children.
I do, but it's
just
weird.
Now learning.
And they say that it does... These do tend to cluster in people. Mm-hmm. So like if you have cuteness aggression toward cute puppies and kitties and stuff, mm-hmm. then you probably do cry at weddings and you probably might scream with excitement at a concert or something like that. Never once felt like screaming at a concert.
No.
I don't typically cry at weddings, probably because I'm not super romantic.
No, you're not.
But I cry at commercials.
You're aggressively anti-romantic. You cry like sad, like when they pull your heartstrings with like the grandpa or the kid or something like that. Yeah, I despise those commercials.
Which is so weird.
They're so manipulative and vile.
Or I've cried like telling our kids stories about like, I don't know, Holocaust survivors. I mean, that book that our kids got from the Scholastic Book Fair.
Are you talking about something that happened 20 years ago?
But it was like stories about, you know, Holocaust survivors or whatever, you know, during... people living during that time.
And I
could not
waterworks.
Could not read that book without crying.
Okay, well,
but that's a sad thing. So I mean,
those are sad things. Not screaming at concerts, which I think he's probably throw that one out there.
Sad things, but also like heartwarming stories about people's.
Yeah.
I mean, you've all heard me cry doing the Thailand soccer boys being rescued.
Thailand soccer boys, yep.
So that's a happy thing that they're being rescued.
Yeah, you were happy. At the time, I was confused. I thought you didn't want them to be rescued. And now that are you on the side of Elon Musk? I'm confused. But it turns out you did want them to be rescued.
So anyway, I have some of it. I don't have all of it.
Okay.
But that makes sense.
It's probably normal.
Yeah.
I love puppies. Don't cry at weddings. Don't scream at concerts.
But you also don't have cuteness aggression for puppies.
I do sing at concerts, though. It's probably annoys the people around me. But I don't have cuteness aggression towards puppies.
Nope. Though. So,
but I do want to squeeze them and hold them, but not in a way that would cause pain.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So the whole thing about why we find babies so cute, it's called Kinderschema.
Kinderschema sounds like a German thing.
Or baby schema. And that's the rounded cheeks, big eyes, a large forehead, a small chin and a small nose. And they think it's a caretaking thing.
When does it work for like chubby balding guys? At all, or is it just
no,
it has to
absolutely
be
not. Okay. The kinder, the baby is very
Like big forehead.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
And because when we see something that has these characteristics, it's going to be a baby or a cute little animal that looks like a baby, whether it is a baby or not.
Or Dom DeLuise. I'm just saying.
And we have the urge to behave the same way we would if it was a baby. So I think it's a biological thing. We want to protect it.
Yeah.
Take care of it. Be close to it. Make sure it's okay. But the funny thing is, our brains even do this with inanimate objects. So that have these characteristics that we might think look cute.
Like what?
Like, I don't know, have you ever seen, like, for some reason I'm thinking of like a radio. Things that have knobs and maybe like little, you know, marks on them. That so it's like two big eyes and a little button for the nose and a smile. Headlights.
Headlights.
Some cars we've seen headlights.
Like in Cars.
Big round headlights.
The movie Cars. Well, they made those movies look. Remember they gave them eyelashes and made them big eyes. Yeah.
But in real life, they have shown if there's a car with headlights that looks like a cute face, it gets more of a positive response out of a person.
We'll want to stand there and hug it as it sped towards you, the headlights.
No, you just get warm feelings.
That could end very poorly.
No, you just get a warm feeling about it. And apparently we're always looking for the Kinder schema in the world around us. Hmm. And when we do find it, we have an emotional response.
Well, babies and animals, I mean, babies and puppies, you know, babies and young animals all have those characteristics for the most part, except for rats. But I'm honestly having trouble thinking of things. I mean, you said cars. I don't see it that much. I'm having trouble thinking of things in life that aren't babies or puppies that do bring out that.
I mean, I'm sure we can Google it and find examples of it. But when I see something, I'll point it out to you.
Okay.
But there's also research that shows that simply by rounding off the edges of a product, can elicit a positive Kinder schema kind of response.
That's weird. So like a radio, you have, it has the harsh rectangular edges, but you just round it off, make it kind of oval shaped. Okay. I thought it just looked trendier, but okay.
And it also helps if something is a miniature version.
Yes.
Which when I read this, I thought this explains my life.
Mm-hmm.
I love a miniature anything. And there is a huge miniature world out there where you can, if you like little minis, you can, I mean, just go on Etsy and you can find anything. The birthday gift that you gave me this year.
You love those things. Yeah. Like, but except for mini Cokes, 7 ounce Coke. No, 12 ounces is barely enough.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
But I think it is.
But
I bet you there are 7 ounce Coke, mini Coke collectors out there. Some and that love the little cute little can. Oh my God, it's adorable. I'm going to squeeze that can.
But there's even like in the checkout aisles of many stores, they will have, you know, it's stuff directly marketed for kids. There's a whole market of little miniature things for kids.
Huh.
Just, and it will be like everyday products, miniature cereal box, miniature, Coke can, miniature.
I remember those mini cereal boxes with the whole kind of an assortment of, you know, Corn Pops and Raisin Bran and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those were cool.
Yeah.
I didn't think, oh, this is so cute because they're small. I don't know.
But yeah.
I don't think I have these things.
Everybody likes a miniature thing. So there's an example of like it's an aerial shot of the ocean and there's a whale in the ocean. And you can see the water and you can kind of see the silhouette of the whale in the water. And you just think, oh, that's what a nice picture of a whale. But then there's another shot and you can see that actually that whale is next to another whale that's bigger.
Whale. So that whale is now a baby whale.
So you were looking at a baby whale, and now that you see it next to the mother whale, and you have it in that context, and now it's all of a sudden adorable.
Oh, baby whales are incredibly adorable, even though they're like 20 feet long.
Yeah, it just looks like a whale.
That's true.
So something happens in our brains when we see it in context relative to the bigger whale. Now it's an adorable baby that we have the urge to take care of.
That's what it is, isn't it? Anything small you think needs, but of course the baby whale doesn't really need you to take care of it.
Yep.
But okay, I'll buy that. Except for how about feral kittens who bite me as hard as they possibly can and draw blood. I felt much less tender toward that feral kitten in your mom's backyard.
Yeah, but you initially thought I need to take care of these baby kittens because they're helpless. Mm-hmm. And
they were tiny. It was like maybe 5-6 weeks old.
Yep. And they also believe that dimorphous expressions towards a baby, so basically cuteness aggression toward a baby, can actually be helpful because it could teach the baby to recognize the difference between playful aggression, like my mommy with her mouth open isn't going to hurt me, And true aggression, like a feral cat coming toward it with their fangs bared.
A feral kitten is a little.
And it's just, you know, a way to teach kids or babies that, you know, they're going to see playful aggression throughout their lives and they don't have to be super afraid of it. Yeah. I don't know. That's what the researchers say.
Okay. I'm having trouble connecting this with the eventual karaoke murder, but I'm
it's just I'm kind of it. Like, it's just like uncontrollable. You feel like you have uncontrollable. Oh, I just want to hurt something.
In that
I
case,
I want to hurt it.
That seems almost like the opposite, though. That seems like you need to calm down, you need to chill out. But still, it's rage from a source that makes sense to be unhappy with. This is very much different than that. It's almost the opposite of that.
Yeah. I didn't say they're going to be identical.
Okay. Two completely different stories.
No, they have to do with rage and uncontrollable emotions.
Okay. All right.
And also because I have to fill an entire podcast.
Okay.
These are two very interesting stories.
Okay.
So babies.
It's a mini grab bag. It's a two-parter in one. Okay.
Yeah. We've been talking about babies and puppies, and they're very pleasant. Mm-hmm. And weddings and our happy occasions can make people have aggressive or violent thoughts, as we have talked about. Mm-hmm. Music, that's another thing that's usually associated with pleasantness.
Yeah.
But as we know, there have been some not-so-pleasant incidents at musical events.
Oh, yeah.
Crowd crushings.
Oh, yeah. Those are the bad. Yeah. Hell's Angels going ape shit on hippies.
The deaths at the Altamont Free Festival.
Oh, speaking of which
is a possible future weird world topic.
Yeah.
And also the assassinations of musical icons.
Yes.
Not great.
Yes.
But.
Who?
Huh?
Oh, Michael. No. Michael Jackson was not assassinated. He just took too many drugs. Who are you thinking of? Who was assassinated?
The Beatles guy.
Oh, John Lennon. The Beatles guy. John Lennon. Okay.
Probably more than him.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah.
But in the 2000s, this is just the lead up to the topic.
Yoko Ono's music caused a lot of aggression, I imagine.
Possibly. But in the 2000s, there was a bizarre spate of violence around karaoke, and specifically one Frank Sinatra song.
Really?
My Way.
My Way.
Which is now known as the My Way Killings.
Oh, what?
You ever heard of this?
No, I have not heard of it. I feel like we've now just started a weird world topic. Just now.
You don't think cuteness aggression is weird?
I suppose. I think it's completely from the My Way Killings. I feel like it's going to be a completely
of course
nothing
it is.
Whatsoever. But okay. So, the My Way Killings. Wait. How does that song go? I did it my way. Okay, got it.
We know Filipinos love to sing.
That's
correct.
Somehow that sounded racist still, but yeah, they do.
No, it's not. They will admit this.
Yes, that's true.
It is very much in the culture.
Best Filipino singer? Dude from Journey. The new guy from Journey. Phenomenal.
And apparently the greatest faux pas a Filipino can commit is singing off key.
Really?
As I'm going to tell you.
I would be killed in the Philippines within a week.
All of the articles and all of the stories say between 2002 and 2012 that it is suspected that at least 12 people were killed in connection to singing Frank Sinatra's My Way.
12 people for the same song.
But when we talk about it, there will be some after that. So
some more.
And also, there is never a list. There's no comprehensive list of these are the 12 people.
Huh.
It's like there's this one and that one and this and that.
And but, nine more.
Yeah.
Okay.
So who knows? I think that is just a guess.
More than one, though.
Don't quote
me.
I'm not going to give you a list of the 12 people, but yes.
I'm going to wait for that list.
So as we know, Frank Sinatra's My Way is from 1969. It was apparently one of his greatest hits.
Yeah, that's pretty late in his career, too. Interesting. I didn't know it was that recent.
Yeah.
Recent, you know what I mean?
Relevant. Well,
he was mostly in 40s and 50s, early 50s even, right?
Yeah.
His singing heyday was in the 40s, I believe.
Or yeah, maybe the early 40s. Early he started
into
World War II.
Into the 50s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then I think, early 50s, he had a little downturn in his
Well, once rock and roll takes over in the late 50s, none of those singers were popular. Of his type of singer was really that popular anymore, right? For a very long time, except for,
with old people.
More of a fringe.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, people think that it was one of his best, both vocally and
creatively.
Let's
play a little bit right now for the audience.
I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that little taste of Frank Sinatra that you've probably heard a thousand yes. times. But
well, according
just
to
a reminder.
According to his daughter Tina, he didn't like that song all that much.
Really?
Yeah, she said that he felt the song to be self-serving and self-indulgent.
You think? It's an ode to pomposity and to,
exactly.
To egoism.
And that it was the song that stuck and he couldn't get it off his shoe. So he stepped on it.
I honestly, that did seem like Frank Sinatra. He was kind of famously pretty egotistical and kind of an a-hole, kind of a tyrant. He was not good with the people around him typically. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Okay.
Yep. Nope. He didn't like it. But in the Philippines, when you sing a Frank Sinatra song, it could get you killed.
Really? I am so not going to go to the Philippines and sing a Frank Sinatra.
Some of these killings were for singing out of tune. Others were for hogging the microphone. There's a big thing. Lots of bars have rules. Wow. You can't sing more than three songs in a row. How about one song?
Oh, yeah. No, one
it's
song.
It's weird
one.
That...
If anyone's waiting, one song. Uh-huh. You get one, bro.
And also, maybe for singing the song on repeat, for hours and hours.
That's just at a karaoke bar with public there, not just your.
That's bad form for any song.
Yeah, really?
Well, I think in the Philippines.
Except for Don't Stop Believing by Journey. That would be okay.
There are karaoke machines in many locations that are not a karaoke bar.
Laundries,
all over the place.
People just belting out songs in the check stand, in the aisle. Fact. I'm not making that up. I'm making that up.
Yeah, you are making that up. Okay. So this can't be the first example, but this is the earliest example that I found actual details
for. Let's start a timeline.
2007. A karaoke bar's security guard shot a 29-year-old man singing My Way in San Mateo.
California?
No.
Oh, okay.
Philippines.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Apparently,
I probably should have known that.
The guy was singing off key, and when he wouldn't stop singing, the guard lost it, pulled out his .38 caliber pistol, and shot him, killing him.
I don't think he understood his role at that location, at that venue.
I think he probably was fired.
He was just fired for murder.
I'm assuming he also went to prison. Okay. And then there aren't a whole lot of more details. Into the 2000s, they have an example of a chairman of one of the country's small villages was shot alongside his driver, so they were in the car. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't really
a karaoke.
Oh no, actually they weren't. No, they weren't in a car. He just was with his driver,
okay.
singing My Way at a Christmas party,
okay.
and a guy on a motorcycle with a gun drove by and shot them both, killing the chairman and the the driver survived.
There may have been an assassination. They just hadn't been singing My Way.
Some people think that. Yeah, it was. It wasn't connected.
Can you imagine having a gun on a motorcycle and you're just cruising around for the night? You're going to get pizza, and
so
you hear
annoyed.
Somebody singing My Way as you soar by on your motorcycle and shooting them. I feel like that may not have been Sinatra related.
Yeah, who knows? But then here's one. It's from August of 2014, so beyond the 2012. So in this case, one man was killed and another man survived. They were both stabbed. After arguing who should get to sing the song. One guy actually is the one that requested the song. Oh. And then another guy insisted he's the one that should be able to sing that song. And
why?
I think he's the one that stabbed the other two guys.
He should have been stabbed for sure. So some guy says, okay, I'm going to sing My Way now. And this guy goes, wait, I should sing My Way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stab you.
Yeah.
He should be stabbed.
Yep. And then in 2008,
there's no justice for stabbers.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
In 2018, a 60-year-old man was stabbed by his 28-year-old neighbor during a birthday party. According to reports, the older neighbor grabbed the microphone from the neighbor, the 28-year-old, just when the My Way song was starting to play. There was a fist fight, and then the neighbor stabbed the older guy.
So the lesson is don't try to hog a song. Just go away like that song. Because I was just in Chicago not long ago, and we did go to a karaoke bar. I did not sing, but somebody did sing Don't Stop Believing My Journey, probably the only song, if I'm drunk enough, I would ever go up and sing, because it's not hard, and everyone would join in. But no, when they started singing Don't Stop Believing, I did not. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I was going to use that myself. I'm going to stab you. I don't
know.
I'm a better person than that, I guess.
You also probably didn't have a knife.
I didn't have a knife.
Or a gun.
No. And I've never stabbed anyone.
Well, later in 2018, Congress in the Philippines actually proposed a bill to put a curfew on karaoke, I guess to make it stop at a certain point in
Congress in the Philippines?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
probably not a bad idea. People getting drunker and drunker.
Exactly. Yeah. They think there was an alcohol influence to the violence.
That and motorcycle riding.
And these killings were shocking, and some bar owners just took the song completely out of their karaoke rotation. Yep. And a lot of people...
So someone get killed by an owner of a bar and said, no, you can't sing my way, and then got stabbed.
No, that didn't
happen.
Say
it did. Carrie, most of these may not have actually happened. Just go ahead and throw that out there. Make it up. I've been telling you that for years.
No,
just make stuff
I know, but up. Now people are not going to believe in any of our podcasts. Well, they'll believe mine, but they won't believe yours.
Officially, we have never, ever, ever made stuff up, just FYI. Except for the April Fool's.
Yes, the April Fool's one.
Three. Okay.
But a lot of people actually just won't sing that song in public anymore.
Hell, there's probably more than one good reason for that, though.
What?
It's not a great song.
Well, it's before this, it was a very popular song.
Yeah. You know why? Because, it's easy to sing. It's a song everyone knows. Yeah. Everyone's going to join in. It's kind of one of those.
But why do they know it?
Crowd pleaser.
Why would young people know My Way by Frank Sinatra?
I don't know.
Because they hear it all the time in karaoke bars.
I suppose. They all know Don't Stop Believing. I was probably the oldest person in that bar. These 20-somethings and 30-somethings were belting out Don't Stop Believing. That's from the late 70s, early 80s, something like that.
Yeah. If you're more middle class or affluent, you can go to a karaoke bar that has private rooms.
Oh, okay.
And then that way you're in a private room and nobody's going to hear you singing My Way off tune. Of course. Have to be.
That's how I would do a karaoke by myself in a soundproof private room, just me.
So here's something else interesting that bar owners do in the Philippines. They would hire gay or effeminate men or transgender women who could kind of, I guess they're just roaming the bar, whatever, to kind of smooth over any conflicts that would be happening over bad karaoke singing.
How does that work?
Because I'm going to explain it to you. Some of these bars already have things called GROs.
GROs.
Guest Relations Officers. Which is a euphemism. For sex workers. Female sex workers.
Okay.
These bars...
Carrie, we prefer guest relations officers. Thank you.
Also often hire gay men because they're seen as neutral. So the men coming into these places drinking, wanting to utilize the services of the GROs, there's no tension with these people as they might have with other male customers.
Yeah,
they're not seen as rivals. They're not threatening.
Yeah. First thing, they're seen as less threatening.
Yes. So they're not rivals for either other women's attention or in singing, because as we know, karaoke machines will score you and then you'll be ranked.
Oh, that could get ugly.
So there's a competition element to it too. And so these workers, the gay men or transgender women that they hire, they often use humor and stuff to just kind of cool down
you're both
the atmosphere.
Just awful. Okay, look, you're the two worst. Don't worry about it. We all know though how to game those machines.
You do.
You do too. You sing in a semi monotone and it will give you a good score every time. Try it. Try it at home.
Maybe they have better machines in the Philippines.
Maybe.
But so is it the Filipino machismo thing going on? I mean, it's pretty much always men. Is there something about that song? Why is it? Why does it seem to always be that song?
Doesn't seem like that song seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it'd be any. Well, Like you, you know, but there's other songs I'm sure that are karaoke standards, you know.
Yeah, there must be.
I'm sure that dumps not believing. I'm not gonna let that go.
Well, people say, I mean, I've never been to the Philippines, but it's a pretty violent society.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
There are, I forget what the number was, 10 million guns, 11 million guns,
Jesus.
Something like that. And
it's almost as much as one county in Texas.
There's a very large sector of society that's living under the poverty line. And going out to sing karaoke is relatively cheap.
Yeah.
It's like about 10 cents per song you got to pay. And so it's kind of just an escape from whatever struggles you're having in your life. And there's a professor, a University of the Philippines professor, who says, you know, the Philippines is a very violent society, so karaoke only triggers what already exists here when certain social rules are broken.
Okay.
So the social rule of always singing on key, I suppose. But he also thinks...
Yeah, you think that if that's the trigger, the bad singing, like Filipinos love to sing, bad singing, it'd be more than just My Way. It'd be any song. It'd just be bad singing.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. They think, like you talked about, the lyrics and kind of the tenor of that song, it's pretty arrogant.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And
so people up there like acting like all badass, like My Way. You know?
Mm-hmm. They think the lyrics and the
yeah,
the way it kind of rises to a fever pitch at one point, they think that does contribute to it.
I'm starting to be on the side of the murderers in this one now because it is a pretty obnoxious song.
Well, interestingly, it was not written by Frank Sinatra. I don't know if he ever wrote anything.
Frank Sinatra, no.
It was written by Paul Anka.
Okay.
Who doesn't seem like a particularly arrogant kind of guy.
No, no,
but
no. But I would not be shocked, we'll ask Paul, if he didn't write that specifically for Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
I don't know. Frank Sinatra.
But they say it's a song that appears to advocate living life without regrets.
Mm.
And so here...
I think a lot of those songwriters back then, they'd write songs for a specific... Like, Sit on the Dock of the Bay, I think that was written specifically for Otis Redding. There was a lot of songwriters back then. There still are now, but obviously. But they would write for... I'm sure this happens all the time. You write specifically, oh, this is perfect. I'll write this for, you know, Beyonce or whatever.
I'm sure it does too. And it also seems to be... Like it's a person, a man, coming to close to the end of his life and coming to terms with it.
Sure does.
Here's some of the lyrics. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain.
Yeah.
My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way.
Yeah, I guarantee you that was... Is Paul Anka still alive?
I think he is.
I'm going to call him because it feels like... Because Frank Sinatra was fairly old by then and had a long and storied career. And he was getting toward the end of that career, I think. And, you know, that's perfect.
I don't know when he died. When did he die?
I have no idea when he died, but he was, you know, he'd been around. Like I said, he was a big star in the early 40s. So yeah.
He still had to marry Mia Farrow, I think.
He still married Mia Farrow after 69?
I don't know.
No.
When did he marry her?
I have no idea.
No, he probably married her before that. I think they were married in the 60s. But
take your word for it.
So anyway, also interestingly enough, which at one point was going to be the title of a separate podcast.
It was a title of a separate podcast for about 3 weeks.
There have been karaoke-related killings outside of the Philippines.
Okay.
A Malaysian man was fatally stabbed for hogging the microphone at a bar.
Hmm.
This one's horrible.
Don't karaoke in Southeast Asia or anywhere around.
It does seem to be a kind of Asian-centric, but we'll get to one that's not.
Okay.
A Thai man killed 8 of his neighbors in a rage after they sang John Denver's Take Me Home, Country Roads. I think they were singing it over and over again.
What was the Malaysia one? Do you know the song?
No.
Hmm.
There have been karaoke-related assaults in the United States.
That makes sense.
Including this one at a Seattle bar where a woman, surprisingly, punched a man for singing Coldplay's Yellow.
Wow. Was he not hitting the high notes?
No idea.
Huh.
And then this one is, I think, this one's Chinese. This is 2012. There was a fight over a microphone because a toddler, and I believe it was the toddler's birthday party.
Did a toddler punched another toddler for singing the Barney song off key?
But the toddler was refusing to give up the microphone. Mm-hmm. And so the adults decided to get in a big fight
and
over it.
The toddler?
With a man killing two relatives with a meat cleaver.
My God. Over a toddler hogging the microphone.
Karaoke microphone.
Wow.
Yep. An American.
Did that toddler serve time for being the cause of this kind of violence?
No. In July 2013, an American was stabbed to death for refusing to stop singing in a karaoke bar in Thailand. And then in March...
what song?
Don't know.
Was it Don't Stop Believing?
2022, American actor Ezra Miller was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and harassment after getting into an altercation with attendees at a karaoke bar in Hawaii. I guess he was at the bar when they suddenly began yelling obscenities. He did.
Oh.
And became agitated when people started singing karaoke.
Huh.
He lunged at a man who was playing darts and grabbed a microphone out of a woman's hand as she was mid-song.
Huh. That sounds a little bit more about Ezra than it does about karaoke.
Yes, obviously.
He may have been on some serious drugs.
Yeah.
I'm just speculating.
So you gotta, some people think it's, you know, violating or breaching karaoke etiquette, hogging the microphone, laughing at someone singing.
Never
or
do that.
Choosing a song that's been overdone.
Yes, but still not stabby. I don't think any song is stab worthy.
Nope.
I feel like.
But it's also.
There are some songs that come very close though.
Violence in whatever culture you're in. Drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's probably very much alcohol related.
Yeah.
And the whole machismo thing.
Yeah.
I think can't be discounted too.
I think any song by Ted Nugent would be stab worthy now that I'm thinking about it, I think actually. Or even bow and arrow worthy.
Yeah. But at least in the Philippines, the My Way song has been tainted.
Yeah. Is it still in our, like, do a lot of places still not allow that song to be played in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Probably for the best. Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to the Philippines? Because if so, we're not going to sing. I'm not even going to sing in our own car. To ourselves, just to be safe.
I'm not a bit. I would never sing karaoke in public.
No, you would not.
So
there's not enough alcohol.
No, we went through a karaoke phase at home.
Yeah, well,
we had the karaoke machine.
Not us, but friends' house.
No, yeah, we had one. The kids had one.
They did.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yep. And it was fun. We used to sing. I remember for some reason it was on the TV up in our bedroom.
Was it?
Yeah.
God, I'm not remembering that super well.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Did I ever sing Don't Stop Believing?
Probably not.
How? What? Why not?
I don't know. If you don't remember.
Did I sing My Way? Probably not.
No.
No. What was my favorite song?
No idea. White Flag.
Now, we sang that at Tim's house.
I know. I hate that song.
I like that song.
Oh. I do have to play a song.
Okay.
For you.
We're going to play multiple songs.
Yep. Hang on.
Are you play White Flag?
No. I'm going to play... We've all heard My Way. We already did that one.
Yes.
This song is going back to Cuteness Aggression.
Oh, okay.
So, and
that's how you're going to connect these two
surprising,
completely disparate subjects. Okay.
They're both related to songs.
Okay.
Okay, so wait.
This is Cute Aggression. I just want to squeeze you. Cute Aggression. I just want to bite you. Cute Aggression. I don't want to cause any harm. It's just these positive feelings are too intense. I love my cat. I love to squish her face. I love to pull her ears back and look at her face. It's so cute. Does she know that she's a cat? I tell her every day that she is.
Well, that was a little spot on. Did the song give you the idea for this entire podcast?
No.
Okay.
I found the song when I just Googled Cuteness Aggression.
And that came up on a YouTube link, I imagine.
Yes. And that
was a great song. No, no one denies
shoot.
It.
Where's his name? Anthony Vincent.
Anthony Vincent, speed metal.
He's even got
extraordinaire.
He's got a video where you see little snippets of him with his cat and other people I think that he's just taken from the internet with their cats. My favorite line is, I don't want to cause any harm. It's just these positive feelings are too intense.
He studied up on Cuteness Aggression.
He did. Sure. It's very cute.
Okay.
No. I mean, the song isn't cute. The lyrics are cute.
It's kind of cute.
It's funny.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, not cute, maybe not the right word. Yeah. But yeah, it's lovely. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's good. I think that song was probably the highlight. It's a good song.
You're a dick.
Wow. Thank you, Carrie, for bringing us two completely different topics that were both very interesting, though.
You're not welcome, but our listeners are.
Wow. I don't feel like I should not be welcomed. It was good. It was good. It was cuteness aggression, which we wrapped around in a bow with his ties to music and talking about people killing each other over my way. I love it. That's good. I like that. I can totally, let's write that up. Let me work on that for the.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Dean may not be back next week.